Sabbath blessings and greetings to one and all gathered here and those on the phone, those listening to the recording. I'm glad to be back in fellowship with you once again. Praise God for bringing us safely through another week to another fellowship as we come together to worship our Godhead in spirit and in truth with one mind and one heart. Praise God for hearing and answering our prayers throughout the past week, for giving us life today and allowing us to have the privilege to have the internet, to be able to come together in church service from different parts of the world. What a joy it is, dear ones. Our opening song for tonight's service is Hold Fast Till I Come. And the closer we get to the end, the greater the devil's attack is going to be, the more deceptive he's going to make it. And especially will he try to get us to become impatient and to lose hope and to try and cause us to give everything up when we're so near the end. Let us rebuff all of his temptations along that line and hold fast. Sweet promises given to all who believe. Behold, I come quickly, mine own to receive. Hold fast till I come. The danger is great. Sleep not as do others. Be watchful and wait. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne. Bright crowns are in waiting. Hold fast till I come.
We'll watch unto prayer with lamps burning bright. He comes to all hours of even the night. We know he is near, but know not the day, as spring shows that summer is not far away. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored. To you shall be given. Come enter my joy. Sit down on the throne. Bright crowns are in waiting. Hold fast till I come.
Yes, this is our hope. 'Tis built on his word, the glorious appearing of Jesus our Lord. Our promises all, it stands as the sum. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on arms are in waiting. Hold fast till I come, said Jesus.
Amen, and may we indeed hold fast in patience possessing our souls and not allowing impatience to possess us. He is faithful who has promised. And as he has promised to never leave us or forsake us, world without end, then all we have to do is keep our faith and trust and hope rooted and grounded in our Savior till he comes. Even if we have to stand all alone without any other brothers or sisters or loved ones with us, Christ is with us. God is with us. And there's a greater majority with God in Christ than with the devil. So if we're with God in Christ, we're in the majority, even though it may look like we're in the vast minority. That's why we're not to look at things with our natural sight, but with spiritual eyesight. And praise God for his word. And who would like to have opening prayer for us tonight? Please feel free.
Dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful for another Sabbath day when we know that we can rest with you. And that your attention is on us all and we can are free to think of all the blessings that you give us. You bless us when we hurt. You bless us when we're happy. You bless us when we ask, and you even bless us when we don't ask. Thank you for the opportunities that come to each day to spread the love of Jesus, no matter where we are or what situation we're in. We ask that you will be here in this room tonight, be with the speaker, be with each one attending, and fill us with thy Holy Spirit, and forgive us where we have done wrong, but lead us into the greater light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I thank you, dearest sister mother, and so glad to hear your voice in the room again. And it's stronger than it was last time. Praise God for his merciful kindness.
I'm getting excellent care here with Sister Michelle. She's an angel sent from heaven.
Well, God be praised.
Hello, happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath, dear sister. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you, likewise as well, everyone, and hello to everyone. Happy Sabbath.
It is indeed a happy Sabbath. And our study book, Patriarchs and Prophets. We're chapter 70, dealing with the reign of David. And we're down pretty close to the bottom on page 703, the paragraph that begins the increasing strength of Israel. And the last thing that we were discussing was that Hiram from the wealthy city of Tyre along the sea coast wanted to make an alliance with David, and part of the alliance involved Hiram sending David various architects and workmen and wood and other valuable material for the building up of his kingdom, his city, his palace. And David jumped at the opportunity. Instead of having enemies all around, now he's finally got someone that he could really call a friend. And God was the one that was moving upon the heart of Hiram to make this alliance with David. And so you can see that God was blessing the son of Jesse. He was indeed fulfilling the promise given to David in the anointing of Samuel, that David was to be the next king chosen by God to rule over his people. And so now we pick it up at this new paragraph. Again, it begins near the bottom of page 703. The increasing strength of Israel and its union under David, the acquisition of the stronghold of Jebus, and the alliance with Hiram, king of Tyre, excited the hostility of the Philistines. And they again invaded the country with a strong force, taking up their position in the valley of Rephaim, but a short distance from Jerusalem. David, with his men of war, retired to the stronghold of Zion to await divine direction. David's learning his lesson. Don't do what he thinks is wise in his own eyes, but go to God for his wisdom. Continuing. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." Now, it's quite interesting here. The Urim and the Thummim, which is how the Lord communicated with Israel, only gave yes or no answers. And so here David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to the Philistines?" The answer was yes. "Wilt thou deliver them into my hand?" The answer was yes. But then it says that the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." That is great encouragement, indeed. So here we have God speaking to David, whether it was verbal or whether it was in his mind, impressed in his heart, or whether it was through a prophet, or whether it was through a priest, we're not told. But we are told what the Lord said, and it's more than just a yes or no on the Urim and the Thummim. So God wanted to indeed encourage the heart of David. And no matter how jealous or covetous enemies might be, God is greater still. Are there any other comments, thoughts, questions? Please feel free.
I was going to say David was probably really glad to hear God's voice speaking to him, because that really did give him great encouragement.
Amen. It would give us great encouragement too if God answered us directly in our looking to him for guidance and wisdom.
thinking, you know, for us, they didn't have a Bible like you and I have, you know, 66 books and that. I'm just thinking, is that a parallel for us today? Like, we can go to the Word of God. It's not going to change and find their direct answers, if you will. And although it's not audible, it's viewable. it's readable. It's in our own language. And, of course, with the help of the Holy Spirit to hear the encouragement on top of seeing it, hearing the voice say, this is the way, walk ye in it.
Amen. And praise God for His Word. But we also have the privilege of going to God ourselves, not just looking in His Word for answers to our dilemma, but going to God and asking Him ourselves. Jesus has made that communication possible. So we not only have His Word to lead and guide us, we also have a direct line to His throne, to Himself, you know. We don't have to wait in line, in fact, because God can be everywhere at once, and thus there is no waiting. There's no waiting line. There's no taking a number and waiting until it's called, you know. God is accessible to each one of us at any time of need. And that is a tremendous blessing that Jesus has made possible for His people. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
David advanced upon the enemy at once, defeated and destroyed them, and took from them the gods which they had brought with them to ensure their victory. Exasperated by the humiliation of their defeat, the Philistines gathered a still larger force and returned to the conflict. And again they spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Again David sought the Lord, and the great I Am took the direction of the armies of Israel.
Amen. Thank you.
David had a very horrible past, but God still used him. He can use anyone.
Indeed, indeed. That's a very good point, dear sister. It wasn't all rosy and beautiful with David's earlier life. He had a very rough time, but God was with him. David made mistakes, sometimes big mistakes, but God looked at his heart, recognized the willingness to follow, thus saith the Lord, and that he still needed to learn important lessons along that line. And so God didn't forsake him. God protected him, but also allowed certain things to happen to kind of wake David up and get him to recognize where he had made mistakes, what he should have done, and then in the future he would recognize the same steps and avoid repeating the same mistakes. And that's how God works with each one of us. We have things to learn. We have things to unlearn. And one of the biggest of these is recognizing that we don't know it all, that we have a very limited view of situations. And what we may think to be the wisest course with our limited knowledge, God sees would be one of the worst courses to follow with His greater knowledge. So He wants us to come to Him so that we may be able to be guided by His greater knowledge and thus avoid the serious errors that we would be involved in if we followed our own wisdom unguided by God. So David now has learned a lot of those lessons. And we can see that even though there's an enemy out there, and even though David is a man of war and is a general and knows how to command and knows how to fight and knows how to get victories in his own strength, yet he's going to God for divine counsel and guidance. So as soon as God told him that the Philistines would be delivered into your hand, David at once went out. why does he need to delay? I mean, God says I'm gonna deliver them into your hand without a doubt. So David musters his army and they immediately go out, and the Philistines are defeated and the gods they trusted in are taken from them. Now you would think that with their gods gone, that they would recognize that they shouldn't have depended on them in the first place. But the Philistines said, well, you know, we just didn't have enough men. We could have won with a larger force. It wasn't our God's fault. It was our fault. And so they then gathered more of their countrymen from different parts of the land, and they came in greater numbers. And I imagine they had gods that were built even bigger than the ones they had lost in the conflict. And so now this greater force comes. And isn't that how the devil does to you and me? When we've gained a victory through Christ Jesus over some fault, we've resisted some temptation, the devil comes with a greater force, a greater temptation now. Are we going to rely upon our previous victory and say, ooh, I beat you last time, I'll beat you again? As soon as you rely on the I, you've taken God out of the picture. God defeated you in union with me last time. So now God, in union with me, will defeat you again this time. You have to put God in everything, not just asking him for counsel and then following his counsel, but in the victories that you gain. God made it possible. And here we see David is following that same advice. God, you allowed a great victory to take place. What is your direction now? And we should do the same things, dear ones. Not be content on how God has led us in the past, but be content to continue allowing God to lead you in the present. Past victories do not mean present victories. It gives you great hope, but it doesn't mean present victories. God is the only one that can guarantee victories. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. So David won the victory before, and he doesn't take it upon himself to go out in the very same manner to try and get a second victory. He lays the matter out with God and looks to him for direction. Amen. Amen. Past victories give great security, but we mustn't feel complacent about such blessings. Amen. Any other comments or thoughts, questions before we go to the next paragraph? And who would like to read that paragraph?
God instructed David, saying, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." If David, like Saul, had chosen his own way, success would not have attended him. But he did as the Lord had commanded, and he smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gaza. And the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 16 and 17.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. So David goes to the Lord, and God doesn't tell him that he's going to deliver the Philistines into his hands, without a doubt. But God changes the battle plan. Now you would think that since David had success the first time, go right back out there and do the same thing, right? But God said, no, don't go out and do the same thing, but go over here to the sidelines, over by this particular grove of trees, mulberry trees. And when you hear a noise in the top of the trees, like something is moving forward, then go out there and you'll win the victory over the Philistines. And so David waits to hear a going in the top of the trees. And he hears this noise moving forward and he follows. What was that going and what was that noise in the top of the mulberry trees? Any ideas? Well, indirectly wind, yes. God talks about using hornets to defeat enemies. And hornets make their nests in leafy trees. And mulberry trees are very leafy. Also has a sweet fruit. And hornets like sweet things. So, in my mind, God had a big nest, or several nests, of hornets in these mulberry trees. And God used this arsenal to go out before David's men and start wreaking havoc upon the army. You can imagine the Philistines ready for battle. They have their lines set, and then they see this fuzzy, dark mass coming in the air towards them. And as it gets closer, they start hearing buzzing. And then pretty soon, the hornets are attacking them. Would you be able to keep your line in order? No, you'd be swatting with all your might the hornets. And thus, there's no way to protect your front or your flank or your rear because you're being stung and you're trying to get away from the hornets. So it was pretty easy pickings for David as he came in and smote the host of the Philistines. And of course, they're running, not just from David's men, but from the hornets. And not one of the hornets is biting David's men, only the Philistines. So then you can imagine the report that spread throughout all the lands that David, or the God of David, even controls hornets. And thus the fame of David went into all the lands. So instead of this being just the victory like it was before, weapon against weapon, God intervenes, David's weapons succeed, the Philistines' weapons fail. Now God shows without a doubt that he's in control because even the hornets take part in the battle. It's quite amazing. Any thoughts, comments, or questions, dear ones?
Yeah, I was thinking about when the word went out and the Lord brought fear upon people. This is a case where gossip was good.
Yeah, yeah, it could embellish the fact, going from mouth to mouth among the heathen nations and thus greater fear coming from it. That's very true. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Now that David was firmly established upon the throne and free from the invasion of foreign foes, he turned to the accomplishment of a cherished purpose, to bring up the Ark of God to Jerusalem. For many years the Ark had remained at Kirjath-Jearim, 9 miles distant, but it was fitting that the capital of the nation should be honored with the token of the divine presence.
Amen. So you can see David being very grateful to the Lord for divine protection and intervention and wisdom and guidance. Oh, thank you. There's a picture of a mulberry tree. You can see how leafy and bushy it is. And a lot of areas for hornet nests to hide and also find support in the branches. So thank you for that. So David is very grateful to the Lord and he wants to honor God. That's what's in his heart, to honor God. And so he goes about carrying out his plan, a cherished purpose, to have the Ark of God in Jerusalem, the capital city. And of course, there was no temple at the time, so it would be the tent sanctuary brought in and placed somewhere in Jerusalem, but particularly the Ark. It was not in a tent sanctuary at this point. It was stored at, I forget the man's name of the property, but at Kirjath-Jearim.
Abinadab.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. So David wants to get it out of the wilderness, per se, and wants to have it within the security of the capital city. And it makes sense to have it there. And so that's David's heart, desire, and purpose. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions, dear ones?
It reminds me of the children of Israel had to go back into wilderness for 40 years to learning their lesson from murmuring and complaining. It reminds me of.
Yeah, and it took 40 years to get that murmuring and complaining spirit out of the nation, per se. And it's interesting, those that murmured and complained the loudest died in the wilderness. And their children are the ones that God brought in. Besides Caleb and Joshua, you know, they remain true. But that shows you how insidious murmuring and complaining and grumbling about how God is leading you does to someone's heart. None of those that grumbled and complained were able to walk into the land, the promised land, without dying. They never made it there. God may have saved them. You know, they may have died in the Lord and would be part of the first resurrection, but they were not able to remain alive and go into the promised land. So you can see that in this day and age, a grumbling, complaining, a sour outlook on life or in heart will prevent you from being part of the 144,000 and entering into the promised land without seeing death. You will have to die and rest in the grave and hopefully come up in the first resurrection if you've been able to overcome that grumbling, complaining spirit. So it's something very serious. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
People look at it as complaining and not as anything very serious. They don't look at it as being that. They don't really take seriously. People don't.
That is true, dear sister. Some people, it's become so much part of their life that they don't see any wrong in it. They don't see any harm in it. They're just sharing their feelings instead of checking those feelings, putting them down, asking for grace and strength to have a happy disposition instead of a unhappy disposition. And just because you have a feeling doesn't mean that feeling is good. You need to look at that feeling in comparison of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, tenderness. Do the feelings match the fruits of the Spirit? If so, then everything is fine. If it doesn't, then don't give in to those feelings. So David had a purpose to bring the Ark of God into the capital city and have it established there so that God would be able to dwell with them in the capital, because the divine presence, the Shekinah glory, was manifested above the mercy seat and inside of the space that the angel's wings provided for. Any other thoughts or comments?
I was just going to say that negative feelings not only tear the person down, and it kind of puts a cap over them, like they can't see anything positive, but anyone that's around them that hears them talking negatively is brought down with them also.
I have a comment. I get to Guidepost Magazine, and this week I got one, and there's a comment on people writing positive things and say, and this fits exactly what we're talking about. A lady wrote in, "I am not a complainer. If I was that type of person, I would be cluttering the path that God has laid out for me, and I wouldn't be able to walk it." And I thought that says it very plainly and puts it all together. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, dear Sister Elaine.
Well, if you don't have anything kind to say, the old saying goes, don't say anything at all. And that's just the way of life for some people. Murmur, complain about everything. Sometimes people complain for attention.
That is true. Sometimes they do complain to get attention. Very true. And, you know, to everything there is a purpose and a time under heaven. And, you know, that saying that you brought up, if you don't have any good thing to say, don't say anything. What is the definition of good? And a lot of times people look at good as not in any way exposing sin, not in any way bringing up anything that is negative in their eyesight. But God's Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, people look at that as a negative. And so, well, that's not good to bring that up. But God's law is life unto those that follow it. So the thou shalt nots lead to life everlasting. That is good. So our definition of what is good needs to match God's word. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. People look at that exposure as negative, but actually it's good, because by exposing their sins, they have a chance to wake up, repent of their sins, and change. So that is good.
Do we have time for a personal experience on negative? I was walking out in the backyard and the hose was all piled up and I needed something on the other side of the hose, and a impression told me, don't walk over the hose. And I thought, but it's just a couple of steps and it's so far out of my way to go around it. So I went ahead. I didn't listen to the impression. I walked over the hose. Unknown to me, the bottom of my shoe was becoming separated from the top, and it caught in the hose, and it threw me down on the ground, and I went down on the cement very hard with both knees, and I thought, why didn't I listen to that voice? Why did I not listen? And to this day, I have reminders of that fall. And I think to myself, the next time I get a premonition about something, I'm going to stop and analyze it and listen to what it says before I walk. I mean, it's such a simple thing, but yet if I'd listened, I would have avoided a lot of pain throughout the years.
Amen. And isn't it a merciful God that sends you little warning impressions? Hey, don't do this because something bad is going to happen. You know, isn't that a merciful God that wants to protect you from harm that will last for years? Quite a loving Father.
Amen.
So David is going to carry out his plan to bring the ark in. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
David summoned 30,000 of the leading men of Israel, for it was his purpose to make the occasion a scene of great rejoicing and imposing display. The people responded gladly to the call. The high priest, with his brethren in sacred office, and the princes and the leading men of the tribes, assembled at Kirjath-Jearim. David was aglow with holy zeal. The ark was brought out from the house of Abinadab and placed upon a new cart drawn by oxen, while two of the sons of Abinadab attended it.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, dear sister. So David summons 30,000 of the leading men of Israel so that there would be a great imposing display of men and great rejoicing among the people to bring the ark 9 miles from Kirjath-Jearim into Jerusalem. And the high priest with his fellow priests in sacred office are joining in this great display. So David wants to do everything he can to exalt the God of Israel. Amen. A comment in the room says, can't you just imagine their joy? It says here, David was aglow with holy zeal. And so with the high priest there and the lesser priests with him, he thinks everything is going to be fine and God is going to approve what is taking place, because David wants to honor God.
Well, have a very good night. I'll see you tomorrow. When you're a happy Sabbath.
You also, dear sister, and we'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. So what happens next? And who would like to read that paragraph?
The men of Israel followed with exultant shouts and songs of rejoicing. A multitude of voices joining in melody with the sound of musical instruments. David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord. On harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on comets. Oh, sorry. I thought that didn't sound right. Thank you. Cornets and on cymbals. It had been long since Israel had witnessed such a scene of triumph. With solemn gladness, the vast procession wound its way along the hills and valleys toward the holy city. You know, something grabs me when we're reading this, and Lucy mentioning how excited they must have been, is the thought that we're preparing a place for God to dwell, and he's going to come soon, the promised one, the deliverer.
Yeah, amen. And so everyone is rejoicing, and David is carrying out his plan as he sees in his imagination it should be. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
But when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. The oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his rashness. Marginal reading. And there he died by the ark of God. A sudden terror fell upon the rejoicing throng. David was astonished and greatly alarmed, and in his heart he questioned the justice of God. He had been seeking to honor the ark as the symbol of God's presence. Why, then, had that fearful judgment been sent to turn the season of gladness into an occasion of grief and mourning? Feeling that it would be unsafe to have the ark near him, David determined to let it remain where it was. A place was found for it nearby, at the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Somewhere, I heard somebody saying the part of the reason why Uzzah was smitten is because he was angry, whether at the because of what was happening at that moment, or whether he was harboring anger in his heart. And that's partly why he was smitten. I can't give you a reference or any documentation, they call it, but that's what I've been told.
Oh, thank you, dear brother. Yeah, I haven't come across that, but if you do find it, please share it. So David is seeking to honor God with all of his heart, but that doesn't mean God accepts what you do for him with all your heart. There's a lot of individuals that have chosen to serve God with all their heart in a particular understanding of doctrine. And they believe that in worshiping on Sunday, they are honoring God and he accepts their worship because they're doing it with all their heart. But God has given explicit directions regarding which day of the week he has chosen as his day of worship. And even though you may worship God with all of your heart on a different day that God hasn't chosen, does not mean that God is forced to accept your worship because you've done it with your heart. God has given us his word for a purpose, to instruct us. And if we fail to follow that instruction, God does not have to accept our worship of him because it's in a different manner. Cain decided that he was going to worship God with the fruits of the ground. instead of following God's instruction to choose a lamb that was unblemished and offer it there as a sacrifice. Cain was, in his heart, seeking to honor God with the fruits of his labor. But God was not forced to accept the heart worship of Cain because it was going directly contrary to the instruction that God had already revealed. And so God refused the offering of Cain. Here we see that David was seeking to honor God with all his heart, but God had already given specific instructions on how the ark was to be handled when it was being moved. And just because David was seeking to honor God with all his heart, even though it was going contrary to God's instruction, did not mean that God was forced to accept David's honoring. And here we see that God did not accept it. So those that are worshiping God on a different day than what he has chosen it to be a day of worship for, does not mean that God accepts their worship. And it's the same with us, dear ones. We may seek to worship God with all our heart, but if it's going against divine instruction, God doesn't accept it. And we have nothing to complain to him about, because God has given us the instruction in writing, in our own language. And what gets me is the high priest and all the other priests should have known this. But either they didn't want to speak up, or they didn't want to go contrary to David's joy, and so they went right along with it. Or perhaps they overlooked it. It's quite interesting. Any thoughts or comments, questions? Please feel free. Thank you, Brother Dick, from Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 1 or Book 1. Page 410, angels who attended the ark struck down Uzzah for presuming impatiently to put his hand upon the ark of God. So thank you for that. Uzzah was impatient because of the oxen. banging around the ark, I guess.
Check out the last one. That's where the word anger is.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. From Spiritual Gifts, Volume 4A, page 111. Uzzah was angry with the oxen because they stumbled. He showed a manifest distrust of God, as though he who had brought the ark from the land of the Philistines could not take care of it. Angels who attended the ark struck down Uzzah for presuming impatiently to put his hand upon the ark of God. Thank you, dear brother. And your memory was correct. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
Uzzah showed anger, impatience, and distrust. in disobeying God's command that nobody but the was it the Kohathites that were to touch the ark and move it only when it was covered? Of course, I don't know if it was uncovered in this situation or not. Probably it was covered. But at least those three reasons were against him for his action.
Amen. I find it quite interesting that Uzzah wasn't mad at human beings. He was mad at oxen. But his anger was manifested by taking hold of the ark to protect it. And thus he was struck dead because that action showed distrust of God's ability to protect his own property. God's own property.
Can't you just hear Uzzah say, "You stupid ox," when he stumbled?
Yeah, he might have. No. But the idea that anger is okay if it's manifested towards animals doesn't hold up. Anger does not work the righteousness of God. Fleshly anger, I should say. There is a righteous indignation. But the wrath of man, fleshly wrath, worketh not the righteousness of God, which means it's unrighteousness. So the wrath of man is unrighteous. And whatever is unrighteous is sin. It's quite interesting. So David now is fearing God, literally afraid, and all of the joy and the rejoicing and the singing and the dancing, the holy dancing, and the instruments are all silent. And David says, "I don't want the ark near me because I might die next." And so David then says, "Well, it made it this far. Let's go ahead and park it over here at the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, and leave it there for now until we figure out what to do next." So the scene of great rejoicing and honoring God is not accepted of God, even though it was done with the best of intentions. And it's the same today. God means what he says. If we choose not to follow it, even though it's with best intentions, God does not accept our worship. So what's David going to do next? And that's where we'll pick it up next Friday evening, beginning at the paragraph, "The Fate of Uzzah." Are there any thoughts or comments, questions, testimonies, songs, requests, anything that you'd like to share, dear ones?
Hey, member, a very interesting reading, isn't it? What a lesson. I just want to thank God for giving me a graphic designer. He's done a wonderful thing lately. He's put on three websites, BibleCrossReferences.org, FreeLiteratureMultimedia.org, and TruthIsTruthMagazine.org. Very long names, aren't they? He's put other languages, so you can view it in 103 languages. But you can't view it for the PDFs that are on the website, but that's all right. That's where Google Translate comes in, and they do about 100 languages. So we're just going to put the information that people can do that themselves in case they don't know. And so I'm just glad to see it. It's good to see the flags, you know. I don't understand any of the other languages, and got English there, obviously. And I'm so glad. And something happened this week. I think I mentioned it on prayer. At the prayer meeting, Bible prayer meeting, and that was, I got a response to a letter box drop off. And so a lady, 52 years old, what's her name? Ariadne. And, it was interesting what you were talking about a little earlier in this meeting, you know, there's that temptation to think you know everything. And she brought that out to me, but she brought it out in a different aspect. I shared with her something about Laodicea in Philadelphia. And what's normal is the think you think you're better than me, and that's why you point it out. And I'm thinking, well, just as I said, there's like about 10, 12 quotes I gave showing no one shut the door. No one's shut the door. Just take Jesus' word for it for a start, and then I'll just give you the spirit of prophecy if you need that. But no one's shut that door. So if I'm not there, that's not the point. It's not shut. And she said, you know, people just think they know so much. And she happens to be an independent, so-called. And she shared a little bit over the phone. I was amazed. I just texted a response, I think, hours after she texted me. I think it was the next day, actually. I didn't have time to get back to her. And she rang immediately. And what's amazing is she has a full-time job. So I don't know how she was doing that when she said she was actually on the road, you know, talking to me while she was driving to work and that, but very keen. But she said, why don't you come round and, you know, meet up with us? Because she's not that far from where I am, or they're not far. They've got about 15 people. And I said, because we'd already been talking about something about our background, and I said, wow, you sound just like SDA, sis, and the Reform Movement. And then I was going to say the Baptists and the Presbyterians. And I said to her that I guess it would be great to sort of start on a neutral area. Can we start with emails? And that's where we are at the moment. And we've invited her to come around today and that. So I'm hoping, I don't know what's going to happen, but it is interesting you brought up about, you know, she said everyone thinks they know everything, that they've got nothing to learn. But in the same breath, I sensed that she thought she knew everything, because she said, I'm a fifth generation Adventist. I'm 52. I've worked so many years. And she was telling you this. And I was thinking of what Paul said about what he could brag about, but it was nothing anyway without Christ. And I said, would it have been better if I had got a fifth generation Adventist, someone older than us that's been a Christian longer? She didn't answer that, but I think she would have got the point. The ultimate authority, she didn't refute anything. And I said, if you're getting upset because, am I an enemy because I shared the truth? Imagine if we talk about other things that I suspect may not be salvational, or is salvational, but is contrary to what your group is believing. And it's such a pity. It's the same group. I think I've mentioned it online before. It's Pastor John Teal. And you know the brother, don't you, bro? Yeah, well, he's 70 years old. I mean, you probably know him from me talking about him. I don't mean you know him personally necessarily, but he's been here for a while. It's funny. I never got a response from the booklets I put on their car just for them, you know, on the Sabbath, because they're not too far from here, and no one responded then, but this time Ariadne has, from the same group. And it just seems so possible we could work together, but she's sure that they are completely right And she said, it's funny how people keep coming like that. I said, yeah, I'm thinking to myself, it is, isn't it? It's like, I said, I want to learn. I'm not claiming I know everything, but can't we just talk about it from a biblical and spiritual prophecy point of view? And she said, if I come over, what are we going to talk about? Well, we could share testimonies. We can share how God's led us in the past. And then she asked the same question, and she made it plain that you are Laodicean, I am Laodicean, and Philadelphia is in the past. So I figured that's probably a comment, not a question. So I'll leave it at that and leave it in prayer. So that's where we are with that. And I just thought I'd share that brief comment.
Well, there is a ray of hope. Looking back at family history, I'm a fifth generation Adventist, and God has been able to break through all of that custom and tradition and wake me up to the present truth. So, and I'm actually older than she is. So there is still hope that God can break through that barrier of brainwashing and upbringing in the church that will go by the wayside, and the present truth can be seen if there's a heart that is honest to want to know it. But we will keep her in prayer. That's quite a unique name that she has. But, we'll keep her in prayer, and others of, Brother Thiel's group, that they can recognize the full present truth and not just bits and pieces.
Thank you, bro. It's a Greek. She's funny. She rang me immediately when I texted her an answer to her questions, and I sort of wondered, did she even have time to look at it? Like, that took me a little while to do, you know? And I appreciate her willingness and quickness. She's got a couple of websites. She's quite, you know, very quick to give answers, and that does give me hope. In fact, I was thinking of you and others in the room that, you know, fifth generation possibly, and that long-time SDAs or previous SDAs, I should say. And I thought, it's amazing because she believes a lot like the SDR, but there are good reasons why she's not an SDR, and she shared that, like the nature of Christ. And I thought, wow, well, that's admirable, because they actually believe, like we do, that is the biblical and spiritual prophecy stance, that Jesus took on fallen, sinful nature and sinful flesh. And they gave that up at some point in the 90s, the SDR, according to her. And I thought, wow, well, that's admirable. That's a great step. So I'm hoping that in other areas, because they do have other areas that they have taken with them, and I'm trying to help her see that. We all got to get away further and further, distance ourselves from Laodicea, from Babylon. And she seems to understand that, but she's so sure about the 144,000. I don't think she's worked it out yet that they can't be in Laodicea. Because it's only the Philadelphians that pass that final test that is recorded there. It's not a past event that hasn't yet happened yet. So anyway, thank you for keeping her in prayer. I mean, they have precious souls there, including, of course, their pastor. She's sure I should come. And, you know, what's the matter? Like, all I want to do is collaborate, meet and share. And I'm thinking, well, that's all I want to do, sis. But can't we converse? You know, get to know one another a bit better. I've got to know some of the members, one in particular, and the pastor, with what their beliefs. So I hope she doesn't feel I'm being snobbish, but just being careful. And I also quoted early writings about when you know error is being taught by the power of the will, and unless you're sent there, angels will leave you. And she didn't actually understand that. And because the word error was used then, she must have thought, you know, like heart attack time, because how can I be in error? That's how she came across. She said, didn't understand it. And I just explained, and she seemed to take it in. So thank you for keeping her. And, and the group, which is not that far away. I'm actually closer than she is. She has to drive past. So I said, why don't you swing by? And anyone else that wants to come, you're always welcome.
Well, praise the Lord, brother. And without you being energetic in evangelizing and passing out letter, you know, materials through the letterbox and so on, you never would have been able to meet this lady and others that have had the seeds of truth planted. So may God continue to bless your outreach with many precious souls.
Praise the Lord.
Are there any other testimonies or thoughts, comments, songs, requests? Please feel free.
Well, bro, a scripture song comes to mind. You were talking about the law of God earlier on and the great peace that they have. And Lucy and I like to sing a song. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, and I will keep thy statutes, and I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies.
Keep thy testimonies.
I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Nothing shall offend them.
Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation, and thy done all thy commandments.
Done all thy commandments.
My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts, and all thy ways are before me. My soul hath kept thy precepts, and all thy ways are before thee. Thanks for the help putting it up there. Thanks, bro.
Amen. Thank you for the duet, and thank you also that we didn't have to have a cliffhanger on you waiting until next time to sing that for us. Oh, praise God indeed for his word. And thank you, brother and sister. That was beautiful. Dealing with following God according to our own heart or following God according to his will, this hymn comes in. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. O'er all my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit, till all shall see. Christ only, always living in me.
Amen. And welcome, dear brother Jonathan. Where are you, back home or are you on the road? Where are you, dear brother?
Thank you for asking, Brother Bob. Happy Sabbath, everyone. We're officially moved already, and the new place is not necessarily in the house, but we're in the place already at the Oklahoma.
Well, praise the Lord. That is fantastic. And we'll be praying that you can get your home established or built or put on the foundation soon, dear brother, and to have that extra security and safety there on your property. And hopefully the tornadoes will stay away and the snow is gone for the rest of the year. And God is good.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Hugs and love to all. First and foremost, I thank the Lord for everything. But I also would like to keep my neighbors. I've mentioned them before, Judy and Archie, the older folks that live next to me. And it's funny, I always call them older, but I guess that's what I call them. But anyway, unfortunately, I was out in town today, and I got a phone call from her, from the wife, and evidently they took the husband. He's at the Advent Hospital out here in Orlando, Florida, and he's a cardiac patient. So they think that he had another heart attack. It has not been confirmed, so I'm not saying it has been, but that's what they're speculating until everything gets, you know, all the tests and whatever they need to do to confirm it. But because of his medical history and so forth, you know, once again, it's speculation at this point, but for the past couple of days, he's been complaining about chest pains and not able to breathe, and he refused, you know, to go to the hospital, and today he requested that he go. So, and his name is Archie. So, his name is Archie Ream, and I would appreciate it if we can keep him in prayer. And because we were speaking of tonight, when people speak about I, me, 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 instead of God, you know, there's always, I've seen a little tale, I think. I saw that. But many years ago, I think, Brother Rob, you remember, but I wrote a poem about I, and I've read it a couple of times in this church group, maybe not necessarily on Zoom, but it has been this time. But I think it's appropriate for tonight when people are always talking about I instead of God, giving God all the glory. And I'd like to read the poem that I wrote. I wrote it back in, I think it was in, I don't know, in the 90s sometime. For the people that don't know, I was in a DMV parking lot. It was pouring rain and I was waiting for a friend of mine. And the poem came to me and I wrote it down on a paper bag. And many years later in 2004 in the state of Florida, they had a contest for Christian poetry. And I entered it. And but anyway, this is the poem. It says, Jesus is Lord of Lords. His words are not to be taken lightly nor ignored. I pity the fool that strays from his side, and in my solitude I sit and cry for all those disobedient souls that will die. So listen, my friends, and take heed to my story. Before you say I, give God all the glory, because Jesus is Lord of Lords. Amen. And I still have the paper bag I wrote it on many years ago. And Brother James, by the way, thank you very much. I did receive your email. It was not in my spam folder this time. So I want to thank you and keep them coming. I love it. It's great. And I want to keep Sister Lynn and her mom in prayer. Mom's still on the cusp, and in the meantime, I didn't see them in here tonight. I haven't had a chance to speak to them due to circumstances and whatever the case may be. So I'm just hoping that Mom's okay. You know, she has her better days, just like the rest of us do, but I still would like to keep her in prayer, and Lynn, because she's got a lot on her plate right now. You know, she does work from home, and praise the Lord. And so this way she can help take care of her mom. But I guess that, you know, that's pretty much like having two full-time jobs. And I'd like to keep her in prayer to give her the strength to be able to endure both the situations that are there. And I've been out in town today. I actually found a box, which I was amazed, on my back porch. I had about 15 or 18 Great Controversy books that the people that send me books, I never mentioned their names, but when I do get my books, it was the last Great Controversies that I had, and I was able to hand them out today, so that was a blessing. I had not been out into town for quite some time because the weather's been kind of peculiar over here now. And I see Brother James and Sister Lucy bundled up and I'm sitting here at 90 degrees. So, yeah, I had to think about it for a minute how they could be chilly, and I'm saying, okay, and now it's 90 almost over here. Today was very warm. But, I also want to praise the Lord that I've been able to have a garden this year that's working beautifully. And I went to a tractor supply store where I live, well, in the next town over, and they actually had a couple of bags of potato seeds, and one of them was from North Carolina. It was a blue potato, an heirloom blue potato, kind of cool looking. And I said, wow, that's pretty neat. And it was marked down, and I asked the lady, I said, why is it marked down? She said, well, there are only a few potatoes in there, and a couple of them are pretty bad. And so I said, I'll take them. And this was a while back, you know, a few weeks back, whatever it was. And I went through them, and I figured even a rotten potato can decompose in the dirt. It doesn't matter. But I put them all into a bin, because this year I did everything in bins. And they're growing absolutely fantastic, and their leaves, unlike a regular potato leaf, if you see the slips on them, these look like green velvet with purple variegated colors. They're absolutely beautiful. So I'm waiting with anticipation to see this blue, this blue potato. And the coolest part about it is that they're heirloom, which is pretty much the only thing I try to plant. And the clovers that you sent me, Brother Rob, you and Sister Michelle, they're popping up everywhere. So yes, they did grow. And I was able, praise God, to inoculate my property with about 40,000 heirloom dandelions last year. This year, they have been popping up everywhere. Praise the Lord. And a few weeks back, I was actually, I want to say about 2 pounds of the greens, because, you know, I eat them, obviously. And that was only from a small little patch that I had put, that I could go get them. And then the little white fluffy balls, which are the seed pods, well, I gathered them up and I blew them everywhere on the property, front and back. I figured wherever they couldn't reach, I'd kind of help them along. And I was amazed to see the clover, because I wasn't sure if I was going to get anything from the ones that you sent me, but they're absolutely popping up everywhere. So I was happy about that. And, I even from Texas last year, I had gotten some cactus, which is, they call a nopal or nopalitos, I think that's how they pronounce it. I'm not sure. But these are edible cactus that grow the cactus fruit, you know, the prickly pears. And they're growing amazingly. I was only able to afford to get a couple of pads, but they sent them to me live. And I wasn't sure, but this year they're blooming out with babies on them. So God is good. And I didn't know that garlic took 9 months to grow. I found out that garlic takes 9 months, but I use the chives while they're growing. So I praise the Lord, because, you know, June 1st, we're coming into hurricane season. So I have everything in buckets and pails and, you know, everything on pallets. So hopefully if we have storms, I can move a lot of those into a safety zone and I won't lose my vegetables. So I praise God for everything. Okay, my dear ones, good night. God bless. Hugs and love, and have a nice night.
Amen. And you also, dear sister. And with all those dandelions popping up, when they go to seed, you're going to have a fluffy yard there. That's going to look quite interesting, like a cloud outside on the lawn.
Amen, brother. They were already started to pop. So what I did with some of them, I actually gathered up the seed pods, and I've been trying to save some of them. But most of them I've just left. So where, with, you know, the proverbial, where the wind blows, let it go. And because I don't have any neighbors that are close enough that I'm even worried about, I don't use any pesticides on my property, you know, Roundup or any of that. I don't use any of that kind of stuff. Everything that I grow organically. So praise God. And yes, it looks fluffy. It looks cool. I think it looks neat. And they look like little snowballs, little tiny baby snowballs. And a lady from, I don't know if she was somewhere in San Francisco, she had sent me some dandelion that were heirloom, but they were smaller version. So I said, okay, let me try to put them out there. And just while we're on the topic, and I don't mean to take over the page here, but I found out that anybody that's growing sunflowers, regardless if they're the massive mammoth ones or any of the ones, when the heads have grown and the seeds are in there, but yet they haven't become mature and they're very tender and soft, that you can actually eat the heads and grill them. They said they taste like artichokes. I did not know that. And this is before, obviously, before the seeds become mature and get hard. And so I'm looking forward to seeing if I'm going to try some of this out, because if I find them edible, like these people claim that they should be. I've done some research on it. I guess you can, might be able to take them at that stage and dehydrate them like mushrooms and put them away. And So we shall see. Good night, all. God bless.
Yeah, I was unaware that you could actually eat it like an artichoke when it's still young like that. Let me know how that turns out, dear sister. Dear ones, are there any other thoughts that you'd like to share before we have closing prayer? Please feel free.
Speaking of tornadoes, I gather from Brother Dick here and say that all is well.
No, praise the Lord that all was well. Dear ones, it's been a wonderful service this evening. Thank you so much for your participation. And we look forward to finding out more of what takes place next in the life history of David. And before we have Brother Dick send us home, it's time for closing prayer. And who would like to offer that for us?
Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for making it possible again to meet together with brothers and sisters. I pray we ever increase to love life by recognizing your blessings in, out, throughout, by which you just dress our life with. And it's abundantly clear we have tangible evidence why this is so, because God is love and not willing that any should perish, but all come unto a knowledge of saving truth and be saved at last from eternal death. Sin. We want to thank you for the privilege of looking at patriarchs and prophets, and really looking forward to continuing this story and seeing the significance of certain events. One of them that stands out in my mind is the fact that a priest and the priesthood really thought they were doing well and in sincerity, but were disregarding known requirements. And what a warning that is to us. Thank you for Jesus in opening it, making it possible to have communication with heaven, to not only talk with you, but have thou saith the Lord, have and it is written, how readest thou before us, to let us speak to you and you speak to us through thy word by the Holy Spirit and say which way to go. We thank you for the wonderful protection Brother Dick and others have experienced in the preservation of their houses, their households, and other places about them too, because of the sheer destruction that has happened in many times, even in Job's time, we're told. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for hearing our prayers because of Jesus and his merits, that we have our only hope in, and of his precious life to be given to us through the Holy Spirit to be lived out in us. We uphold with thanksgiving that brothers and sisters can plant gardens, including Sister Susan's, and seek your blessing on the growth for it to continue and bring about good results and, of course, health to the body through the growth of the things that have been planted and are growing. Please bless the precious seeds of the Great Controversy and the other precious book, Steps to Christ, and other simple things, whatever it is, whatever has eternal principle, eternal truth on it, that can draw one upward, heavenward, Christward, that you would continue to protect these seeds and that we would continue to keep these souls in our minds, in our hearts, and seeing what we can do to advance thy cause in their life with anything we might be able to say, pray, and work with these individuals and help them see that we believe in the whole everlasting gospel, nothing more, nothing less. And it's a wonderful gospel because it's not man-made, it's God-made, and it's God-given. And it's our privilege to do our part to not think to rely on past experience, but to have fresh bread, fresh manna from heaven, to eat the body of the Son of God and to drink his blood by faith, even the word of God that is quickened by the Holy Spirit in us. We seek your continual physician help, Lord, in the area of Sister Ma, that her continual health may progress upward and onward, and anything she can do to be improving it, she would be strengthened to keep it up, especially with the temptations that may face her that might stop her from doing this. We're so glad Sister Lynn could be with her, and that despite it's like a second job, it's a job of love, and I'm so glad she could be working at home. Thank you for this enormous blessing, and for any other brothers and sisters that because of world events in the past year and this year have allowed them to work from home. May Sister Lynn be especially strengthened in this process with this abundant blessing to make the most out of it, and Sister Ma continue to be strengthened to get through. And of course, every brother and sister to have a real happy Sabbath, because Jesus is real. The Holy Spirit is real. You, Father, are real. And the heavenly angels that love to do thy bidding are real and are sent to those who shall be heirs of salvation. We also uphold Archie and his cardiac health issues, that it would be understood clearly what's causing them, and anything that can be an inducement for him to follow a better path. I'm not saying he's not on a good path, but if he's not, that'll be brought to his attention, and he will do all that he can to have a better heart of health. And not only that, as important as that is, but have room, a heart for Christ. Have one who lived and died and resurrected and ascended and reigns as our high priest for a little longer while time lasts. Bless our brethren and sisters as they each go from here, and ourselves, and the Holy Spirit guiding each and every one of us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You can do this without the restriction of saying, oh, I've just got too many individuals to attend to, for there's nothing too hard for you. What a blessing. Help our faith grow, even soar, to take hold of the promises that were fulfilled in the past with the biblical and spirit of prophecy statements, history, sacred history, and what we may do now, especially in the very last days of this world's history of the great controversy between Christ and Satan. And Jesus, we thank and pray for the winning side and for the power of Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Well, dear ones, go with God. Keep his word in your heart and mind. And until we meet again, keep looking up.
Keep looking up. Thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up. He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up. The darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on